while they were perplexed about this. It's just a fun word, perplexed, don't you think? It reminds me of the game Kerplunk. I don't know why, but perplexed. Go ahead, say it a few times. Perplexed. Perplexed. See, it's fun. It's fun to purse your lips and say perplexed. You'll be saying that all day, probably. Maybe, maybe not. When I was younger, when I lived in Downers Grove, I remember the house on Grant Street, we had this book at the house on Grant Street called Perplexing Puzzles and Tantalizing Teasers. Anyone ever have that book? I'm sure I got it at one of those book fairs. They still have the book fairs at school, but I think it was one of those, oh, I have to have this. And I don't remember specific puzzles from the book, but I do remember that I remember the flavor of the puzzles. So let me give you a kind of perplexing puzzle and tantalizing teaser that might have been in that book. I don't think it was, but here we go. Two mothers, by the way, don't answer. Just keep it to yourself if you know the answer. Two mothers and two daughters have dinner at a restaurant. Each one decides to order dessert. When the server brings the desserts, they have just three with them. The two mothers and the two daughters take their desserts and enjoy them immensely, each person neither having to share nor feeling as if they did not get what they ordered. And how can this be? Some of you know. Perplexing puzzles. Perplexing situations make you think. They leave you confused. And really, they aren't really meant to be understood, sometimes, I would say. At least not right away, and maybe not ever. So there was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women who came to Jesus' tomb on the first day of the week to anoint his body with spices. And they were perplexed at what they found. The stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Now perplexed turned into terror when these two glowy dudes arrived. It's the best way to describe them. Things did turn back to perplexed when the glowy dudes said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women remembered that Jesus had told them that he would rise again on the third day. And then perplexed gave way to a joy and a need to tell the disciples. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women went back to where the disciples were and told them what had happened. And the disciples were not perplexed. You want to say perplexed because that's the word of the day, but no, they were jerks. To them, what Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women were saying was just an idle tale. It's right there. To them, it seemed an idle tale. They didn't believe the women because the disciples were jerks, yes, not perplexed. Yeah, men. Not even wondering if it could be true. Not even hoping it could be true. Not a bit of possible affirmation at what the women just saw? Well, at least Peter didn't brush it off. He ran to the tomb to see for himself, and he was amazed. It would have been nicer if Peter had said something like, "Can you show me?" Or you know, "Really, that's unbelievable. I've got to see it for myself. Can you take me there?" No, he just ran. It would have been nice if he'd said something nice. But at least he didn't dismiss it as if it were an idle tale. Like the rest of the disciples who apparently were, and Mary and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women were, and then, you got to remember, okay, let's see if we can go through the emotions here. They were perplexed, then they were frightened, then they were perplexed again, and then they were filled with
joy.
Okay, so the women were
perplexed.
There we go. And they had to tell. And the men were
jerks.
But Peter was at least, I don't know, what's the one word that we could use for Peter? Wondering? Curious? Curious. Okay, there we go. Oh, and so here we are today. It's Easter, and we're celebrating what? The risen Lord. We're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. This is the day that defines, really, the Christian church. Remember, I know, people say, which is more important, Christmas or Easter? Yeah, without Easter, Christmas, it really doesn't hold any importance to it. It's the birth of somebody. It's why we have more thorough and reliable, I guess you could say, texts and stories about the resurrection of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. We wonder, because when Jesus was born, sure, we've got the stable, and sure, we've got shepherds, but, like, you know, who remembered that story? Because when Jesus was born, he wasn't important at all. It's just kid. Easter is why we have church on Sunday. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? How many of you are learning it for the first time today? See, if the resurrection is Sunday, the third day, by the way, how long was Jesus dead?
1.5 days.
There we go. I brought that up to Dick today. It was about a day and a half that he was in the tomb. According to the Hebrew custom, a soul really didn't leave the body until 3 days later. So that made Lazarus' resurrection huge. 4 days. Yeah, he's been in there. Even the Bible account of Lazarus rising from the dead, or Jesus raising Lazarus, says he's been in there 4 days. It's really going to smell, meaning 4 days. It's past the expiration date, so to speak. Jesus, a day and a half. Now, people don't go around saying Jesus wasn't really dead, but the time hadn't elapsed, really, according to Hebrew custom, for him to be truly dead. According to the Princess Bride movie, he would have been mostly dead. But he was dead. He was. We might have questions about it, though. Was he really dead? All these things. Some people to this day say that Jesus' body was stolen and he really didn't rise from the grave. Ever heard that? They say it. Is it true? Some people say that the people who saw Jesus saw a ghost and not a real person. To this day, people say that. How can that be? Some people say that Jesus' resurrection was made up years after he died so that people wouldn't forget about him and so that Christianity could grow. People still say that. They said it then too. Who would do that? Some people are still wondering, how can two mothers and two daughters all eat dessert without sharing while only getting three desserts? The first three are great questions about Easter. They really are. They're even worth talking about. It's good. During Easter breakfast today, you can have discussions. What about this? What about this? What about this? I don't think God is against questions. God loves conversations. That last question, that one's to keep you thinking when you're not thinking about resurrection stuff, because I'm not going to tell you the answer to that one. Somebody who knows it, you can ask around, and I'm just not going to tell you now. So try not to think about it. I know you're thinking about it now, aren't you? Yeah. How can that be? Aren't the first three questions more important, though? They're better conversation pieces. They help us in our faith because we don't have this physical evidence. We have the ability to ask questions. Was his body stolen? Was it a ghost? Did people just make the whole thing up? What? We can celebrate. We can question. We can defend. And we can have excellent conversations about the resurrection. we can be and are followers of Christ. We can be and are Christians. We can be and are people who seek the still speaking God. We can be and are people who live God's two big rules of loving God and loving everyone. Even though, and perhaps because, we are so often
perplexed.
Yes, perplexed. I'm glad you didn't say jerks. That's good. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this Easter day. Thank you for a risen Christ. And thank you for giving us the ability to celebrate, to question, to have conversations, to be perplexed, to live your two rules, to love you and to love all. In Jesus' name, amen.